if you answer them quickly, within minutes, really, right, as opposed to hours, you can see the likelihood of a purchase off the back of that increases by like 50, 60%, right? It really drives it up because, again, I'm a home, I'm a consumer interested in that product. If I get my answers quickly, that does two things. It answers my question, but it also builds on trust. Like, this brand is responsive. They engage quickly, right? So it's a psychological trust as well that you're building, right, in terms of being responsive and giving accurate answers, right? That's important as well.
It's the E-commerce Master Plan podcast, here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome. It's great to have you here. Thank you for hitting play and choosing to listen to one of our inspiring guests. This is one of our masterclass episodes where we get an e-commerce expert onto the show to share the key things you need to know in one e-commerce subject. And the subject for this one is customer service, not just how to deliver better customer service, although of course we're getting into that, but also how to turn your ops customer service activity into more of a profit center by sharing data between departments, by helping your customer service team give higher quality responses to consumers, by helping customers pre-purchase, post-purchase, and so on and so forth. Really fascinating stuff we're getting into here. Lots of little nuggety bits as well as some big thoughts. Make sure you listen to the end of the episode so you don't miss out on my guest's top tips and my own take on this episode.
At our sister podcast, Keep Optimizing, we are counting down the weeks until we release episode 300. Yeah, 300. Baby sister is getting big. It's crazy to reach that milestone. And we are going to be celebrating it by releasing content, the episode and a few other bits and bobs, that's even more useful and helpful than what we usually release every week on the Keep Optimizing podcast. There's also the opportunity for you to be a part of it all. To find out how to get involved, go to keepopt.com/300. That's keepopt.com/300. And that way, you can become a part of our Keep Optimizing episode 300 celebrations. Have you yet downloaded our ebook? To celebrate reaching episode 500, we've created an epic e-commerce success-focused ebook for you, packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable, featuring the advice of many, many past guests alongside industry experts and many of you as well, our listeners. I've checked every single tip and organize the whole thing into sections for you, making it super easy to dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need it. This ebook needs to be sat on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at ecmp.info/ebook. Get 2024's most valuable e-commerce ebook now, ecmp.info/ebook.
And now to introduce our special guest. Gareth Cummings is the CEO at eDesk, the AI-powered customer support help desk for e-commerce used by e-commerce stores around the world. Their client CarParts.com has just been named in USA Today's list of America's Best Customer Service 2026. Hello, Gareth.
Chloe, thanks for having me on. It's great to be chatting to you today in rainy Dublin.
Yes, and coming to you from rainy Cornwall as well. I believe we're both suffering from the same storm, but we spent far too long in the pre-call talking about the weather, so let's spare everybody that, otherwise I'll go off on one about storms. Very cool getting your client up into the America's Best Customer Service list. That must be a nice way to start the year.
Yeah, amazing. Actually, CarParts.com have been a customer for ours for quite a long time, actually, probably 5-6 years. Great business based on the west coast of the US, selling car parts, obviously. But huge business, publicly listed, been around quite a while. And yeah, be using us for customer support and have a significant team in terms of what they do. And it's always brilliant to see a customer who's using our platform get recognized for what they're doing in customer service. Obviously, ourselves and eDesk, such big believers in customers at the heart of your business. That's how it should be. So yeah, pretty cool. Nice start to the year. And great to see some of our customers getting some of the recognition which they well deserve.
So let's go back a bit from this year. How did you end up in the world of e-commerce and customer service?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I guess, you know, my career, I've always worked in, I guess, tech startups. That's kind of what I've found myself landing in. But way back when, I you know, started off working in call centers, you know, when you're first kind of starting out your career. So I had a taste of customer service right at the beginning, and then kind of went off on my tech journey and worked in different tech startups, be it in banking and telecommunication and people and stuff like that. But I always had that bug in terms of tech and startups and stuff that was at the cutting edge. And then I met Ray Nolan, who's the founder of our business, 8 years ago, actually, this stage a little bit more. He has had lots of success in different businesses such as Hostelworld and Skyscanner, and, you know, be quite well known in the Irish and UK market. But he had been running this company and wanted me to come on board a CTO to run the product and the technical part. Met him for a coffee. It was actually Stephen's Day, or Boxing Day, as you would call it. So met him that morning, and we kind of hit it off. And yeah, I joined the company. So that was my start on my journey and within eDesk and e-commerce. And since then I progressed, so looked after product and tech, but then moved up into the CEO role running the whole business. So yeah, that's how I ended up where I am today in terms of what I'm doing.
What an awesome journey to have gone on. Given, you know, you've had those years of experience in the customer service space, deep in what the customer needs in the CTO role, and obviously still doing that now in the CEO role. Have you seen what brands are looking for in their customer service needs and their customer service tech change in that time? Is it evolving what they actually want in order to deliver the customer experience they want to?
Absolutely. I think the biggest change, which is consistent in e-commerce, I think, is just the multitude of channels where communication is happening upon, and also where they're selling upon, right? So, gosh, even maybe 6-7 years ago, you might have had brands who only sold on their website, for example, and that was where they only sold, right? But typically brands we see these days could be selling on their website, TikTok shop, you know, they might have a presence on the likes of Instagram or Meta or X. They also might be selling some stock on marketplaces such as Amazon or Walmart or other European marketplaces. So I think the biggest change, and it's consistent, is just the acceleration of where they're both selling, but where also communication is happening, right? So it's no longer one single channel or maybe two channels. It's a breadth of channels. And it's also in terms of the channels they're coming in. It could be in terms of obviously email, but also the likes of chat, in through kind of social messaging these days on WhatsApp or SMS. Such a broad range of places where people can communicate. Ourselves as consumers expect the same level of responsiveness and engagement across all those different locations. So I think that has just exploded and continues every year. It just continues to grow and grow and grow. So I think that's you know, what I see in terms of our customers, our brands, what they have to deal with. And that's something that continues to accelerate.
And presumably, as the conversation as directed by the customer is expanding out from, we have a form on the website, you know, going way back, we have a form on the website, and if you go to that form, then you can speak to us. You know, kind of like we're, as the business, we're very in control, and we're really only going to talk to you if you've got a dispatch problem or a payment problem. You know, it's very kind of technical stuff. As it expands onto these more, not more salesy platforms, but more interactive platforms like TikTok, WhatsApp, all the marketplaces and all the rest of it, is it becoming more of a pre-sale channel than a post-sale channel?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, again, if you went back a few years, it was probably more transactional. As you say, you would have the form on your website, you know, kind of post-sale, hit the form, get an answer back, right? It was just kind of around, purely around the post-transaction. But what we're seeing more and more is that pre-sales engagement. In fact, for some brands, up to 30 or 40% of their actual queries coming in are pre-sales queries. So people asking about, you know, sizes or when it will be delivered or just different, especially, you know, around higher intent purchases, you know, so value purchases, right? People are going to ask more questions. They're going to engage more and more before they buy something. So we see that more and more in terms of the message volume that's coming in. And that volume can, again, it can come across multiple different channels, right? As you say, you know, social channels, you know, chat, you know, those sort of channels very much are engagement around those pre-sales types of questions. That's where you have people doing research, but also you have those impulse buys. You know, we're all the same. You're on your couch in the evening or the weekends, and you're kind of browsing your phone and you see something on Instagram or TikTok, whatever. Oh, that's kind of interesting. And it's that impulse buy. And that's where, you know, you being there as a brand to engage with that impulse buy is really, really important, because in that moment where I'm thinking about purchasing your products, and if you can't respond to me in that moment, you might lose that window. And we see that again time and time with our stats, that if you don't engage quickly in those pre-sales queries, especially outside of those, you know, obviously if you're an e-commerce business based in the UK and you have people working Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, you know, your shoppers' windows don't align with those times. And that's why you need to be able to engage with your potential customers during those evenings and weekends as well, because they're core hours where people are purchasing or, you know, thinking about purchasing. So yeah, you have to be ensured that you're kind of in those places as well.
I always find it, you know, my career started off in the world of mail order, where you could, you know, to a certain extent get away with the 9 to 5 phone lines, because most people back in that point in time would place the orders on a Monday morning when they got to work by phone. But now if you've got ads running 24/7 on Facebook or TikTok or wherever it might be, to have shut your call center at 5 p.m. when we know there's a spike in orders that happens around the 8-9 o'clock mark, it's kind of, you're immediately giving cash away because of a logistics manpower issue.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. Like, again, you got to think of your consumers who might be on different time zones as well, right? Who are coming to your website or to your page, right? They might necessarily be in the same time zone that you're in as well, right? So you have that at play as well, because you're selling globally generally, right? So yeah, if you think about kind of shutting that shop window, it's kind of like your shop window is, it's like having your shop open 24/7, but only staffed, right, during certain periods of time, right? If you kind of think of that, it's like, yeah, it doesn't make sense. And again, we see it from our data time and time again. You know, you've kind of got a short window to answer those pre-sales questions. You know, if you answer them quickly within minutes, really, right, as opposed to hours, you can see the conversion, the likelihood of a purchase off the back of that increases by like 50-60%, right? It really drives it up, because again, I'm a consumer interested in that product. If I get my answers quickly, because that does two things. It answers my question, but it also builds on trust. Like, this brand is responsive, they engage quickly, right? So it's a psychological trust as well that you're building, right, in terms of being responsive and giving accurate answers, right? That's important as well. So again, that really drives up the likelihood of myself purchasing off you, and also can help in terms of, you know, if I do have questions around delivery or sizes and stuff like that, if I get them answered first, right, it also kind of decreases the likelihood that I'm going to return a product, right? It helps, you know, we think of conversion, but it also helps in terms of post-sale, right? Because I've got some of those questions answered up front and I know. So kind of it plays two key roles in terms of helping in terms of that overall kind of customer buying cycle, which is really, really important. So yeah, those evenings, those weekends, they're really important in terms of brands and being there and being engaged with your customers, you know? And we all expect, you know, we're all so tied to our phones these days. It's not just Gen Z, right? It's everyone. But So we all expect, right? We're on our phones, we expect that kind of responsiveness. We expect that to happen because that's how we're all getting more and more wired, right? So it's important that, yeah, you as a brand engage in that way as well.
So do you think with all these changes we're seeing that brands are becoming more interested in customer service as not just an ops cost line, I suppose, but more as a profit creator for the business? Is that a switch you're seeing, maybe just the more enlightened brands making at the moment, but do you think that that's a switch that's happening in the industry?
Yeah, I'm hearing it more and more. Like, I just think back to this year of the different conferences, and you know, you go to different e-com events and, you know, you're listening to brands speak and, you know, in terms of what they're saying and what's important to them. And you're hearing time again in terms of customers and conversations and the human element and representing their brand and being consistent and stuff like community, right? And all these things. And that's all centered around the customer, right? I mean, it's this kind of, you know, parallel world, right? Obviously, we have AI and the race in terms of automation. And that plays a very important role. And, you know, in terms of our product itself, that plays a very significant role and can play a hand in your business. But there's still a piece around the customer and how you treat the customer and how you engage with the customer. And that's still at the core of any business. I'm hearing it more and more in terms of brands. Like, it's, you know, it's harder than ever to acquire customers. Like, it's more costly. It's more competition. You know, margins are being squeezed. Your tariffs, you know, it's never a dull moment in e-commerce as everyone knows. Right? There's always these different things going on. So, you know, the customers that you have, right, it's important that you drive repeat business off them. I think of that kind of flywheel where you know, you acquire a customer, you know, you give them good service, they leave a positive review, which drives more revenue. That flywheel effect. And also you have, you know, when we think of e-commerce, business selling online, reviews online, which is a massive part of it, but you can't negate the offline impact as well, right? Because we all know it. If we have a negative experience, we tell our family, we tell our friends, we tell our coworkers, we tell our neighbors, you know, you tell everyone, right? So there's that impact as well, which you can't negate. So I think more and more, I think it's you know, I'm hearing more. And even I was at the NRF there in New York just there at the beginning of January. And again, it was coming up from all the brands, from all the people in terms of that. It's becoming more and more important because if you can grow that loyalty, if you can drive that repeat business, that gives just a better flywheel effect, right? So I think it's becoming, yeah. And I you know, if you come back to the giants of e-commerce, Amazon, right? They're one of the core leadership principles from the very start and still to this day is, you know, the customer obsession, right? It's putting the customer at the heart of what they do in every decision. And I often think, well, you know, that's Amazon, the giant, right? So it's, and they still have that today. So I think that's an important lesson for any kind of e-commerce brand or seller out there, that's really important that you put the customer at the heart of your business.
So those that you're seeing successfully put the customer at the heart of it and successfully, I guess, reintegrate, revive their customer service team and their customer service systems to provide that better level of support, that better mindset for support. How are you seeing them going about doing it? Is it a tech stack thing? Is it a leadership thing? Is it a budget thing? What is it that makes the shift from this is an ops channel to this is a profit center?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the first thing, it does need to come from leadership or from you know, people who believe in that, because, you know, that has to be driven throughout the business then in terms of how you operate and how you think about the customer and how you operate around that. So, and I think that's very important because ultimately that's where it's driven from the business. And from there, then you can start to look at stuff like the platforms and the processes and the procedures that you have in place to ensure that you're doing the right things. You know, I spoke about you, man, which is still very important, but obviously that's where stuff like AI and platforms can play a real role, because, you know, within our own platform, within eDesk, you can use AI to automate, you know, up to kind of 50-60%. You know, if you think of e-commerce queries that come in, there's a lot of repetitive queries that come in, be it where's my order, or, you know, even returns, or, you know, I want an invoice for this. Even when it comes to pre-sales, there's a lot of common questions there that, you know, people want to know in terms of about your delivery patterns, about sizes, about do you have stuff in stock. So where you can use stuff like, you know, AI within eDesk is you can use it to, you can connect it with your product feed, you can connect it with your product catalog. So your AI is able to answer those questions in real time, in any language, you know, 24/7. Those repetitive queries can be automated and they give a very good response. They give an accurate answer, you know. Consumers are happy to engage because they're getting the answers they want. And then that allows your humans within the customer part of the business to focus more on high value conversations and more complex issues. So they have the time then, right, to handle a VIP customer, for example, and make sure they're getting, you know, if they have an issue, they get the attention they need, it's sorted quickly, they get that care that's needed. So they can deal with more complex issues. They can, you know, deal with escalations. They can deal with the high value customers. And then, again, that just leads to a better experience, because if I'm a new customer engaging on some pre-sale questions, I get the answers quickly, accurately in my native language. And then as I progress with your business, if I have some complex issues, I get to deal with a real human who engages me, who has the time to respond and, you know, the time to treat me as I should be treated as a customer. So I think that's key. So yeah, start with leadership in terms of going, yeah, this is an area for us to transform. And quite often, it's an untapped area because, you know, I, again, obviously for understandable reasons, there's often so much focus on how are we going to acquire new customers? Like what marketing campaigns are we running? Ad spend, you know, there's a lot of focus on the business in that area, and rightly so. But there's a real untapped area here in terms of revenue. And we've seen it with our own customer base time and time again. When they put focus on this area, right, they can increase conversion on the pre-sales. They get happier customers. They get more reviews. You know, it just creates that flywheel effect. They can see over time that, hey, our repeat business is going up, right? Which is a really key metric, right? In terms of that, we're getting repeat customers, or LTV value of our customers is driving up. So, you know, there's always a lot of focus in e-commerce business on you know, on the marketing side, growth, conversion. Mm-hmm. This is a real untapped area, and we see this time and time again. So when you start to put a bit of focus in this area, some ways easy wins, right? That can really add to that growth flywheel. And you can do it in an economical way as well, right? It's not a case that you have to, maybe some other marketing campaigns, you have to put a lot of spend or budget. There's things here you can do smartly, which will drive up your growth and drive up your profitability as well, right? Because you're driving that repeat business.
I mean, it strikes me as one of the immediate things to do would be to set the AI up. I was going to say set the AI loose. I'm not quite sure that's the right phrase to use. But, you know, you set the AI up to deal with those, you know, what's usually the bulk of the inquiries that are coming in, which is, where is my parcel? When's my parcel going to arrive? Can I return? You know, all that kind of like simple stuff that's fully data driven. Take the pressure off your team, run it 24/7 if you don't actually have team running 24/7, and maybe 50% of those 8 p.m. calls we were talking about earlier will get picked up nice and quickly. But then presumably the next thing is to start training and supporting your customer service team at that point. Is that the next thing to do if we want to, you know, we've got the leadership buy-in, we've got this decision, we're going to be improving this area of the business. Would that be your next step after implementing the AI?
Absolutely, and investing in them. You know, because you kind of take that pressure off, right? In terms of, so then it's okay. Now we're going to get our customer facing team focusing on the things we want to focus on. So that's, you know, we can upskill them. We can invest in training. They can also, you know, invest in terms of making sure that the automation is working as it should be. So that is running as well. And then again, in terms of where they can add value to the business, right? So where can they come in and help in terms of with the growth narrative? Also, you know, it's a really untapped area in terms of listening to the feedback that's coming from your customers, right? Like through the customer service team, right? I mean, again, obvious thing, right? But like quite often we found, and again, you know, you can use products like EDES to unpick some of this information, but you might have a high selling product, but actually that's driving a lot of negative reviews and a high level of returns. You know, you'd be surprised sometimes that business aren't aware of this actually. So whereas on your top line, you're kind of going, yeah, this is a great selling SKU or product item. It's going really well. When you kind of look under a little bit, you're like, oh, actually, this is not performing as and it's actually hurting us as a business, right? So it's, you know, by giving your time to your customer service team to be able to kind of give that feedback back to the business or identify those issues. And, you know, that's that feedback loop within the business as well. That's not always there, right? That's not always coming back. So you discover these things or these potential problems in the business, and that allows you to improve things over time. So rather than then the support team just, you know, frankly trying to deal with the queries that are coming in, you automate that piece, you automate the 24/7 piece. Again, that raises your bar of customer service immediately, right? All of a sudden you're offering 24/7 support, multilingual as well, right? By using AI, right? Can answer or not. And then again, then all of a sudden you're starting to tap into that knowledge that the customer service team has, right? That they know about your customers, about your products, you know, different things that happen in the business. That's a really, you know, untapped area that you can delve into. And you can start to kind of learn more about your business and then, yeah, feed that back in and see what improvements you can make, you know?
It's quite the mindset shift almost across the whole business. I mean, I think I mentioned to you before that back when I worked brand side, we were on the same floor of the building with not actually a door between us buying merchandising. I was in marketing and the customer service team. But they were kind of through a tiny bit of corridor and round the corner, and we never went down there. You know, it was kind of ridiculous. We never went down to see, to get any feedback from them, to listen into calls or anything. But at the same time, they were prided themselves on finding workarounds for the problems we caused them rather than going, Chloe, there's a problem with this code that you've set up. Can you fix it? No, we'll find a workaround. You know, it's like this problem-solving pride, whereas actually, you know, in that returns example you give, you know, they just get very good at dealing with the customers who've got this problem item, but not feeding it back to the buying and merchandising team, who are probably buying more of it, and or who might be able to fix the fact that the buttons fall off or whatever it might be. So I think it's a whole kind of culture thing in some ways. I mean, you know, you make these steps and it's all going to improve, but you've also got to tackle the people and the culture.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I'm a big believer in this ourselves, but like even in our own business, but like, you know, 1 week a year, you actually sit, no matter what kind of position you're in, sit and you work in customer service, because you just be surprised at what you hear, what your customers feed back to you. You just touch on it there in terms of what that team is actually dealing with day to day, you know, because, you know, if you're working support, you are an excellent problem solver. That's in your DNA, right? So that's what, you know, you can default to. But yeah, so in terms of even just having that piece connected to your business. I mean, they're interacting with your customers every single day, right? And again, coming back to what core belief, if the customer's at the heart of your business, right, they're hearing that every single day. So they're you know, it's such an area where you can get such great feedback back into the business of what's working and what's not working. And that, again, sometimes there is really simple things that can be fixed in the business, right? It's just that the rest of the business is not aware that they're going on, right? So as you say, it could be a very simple thing that's, hey, yeah, we can get, you know, there's a defect in that particular product. That's actually, we can get that solved, right? Or maybe we're having a problem with a particular carrier who's doing delivery slightly, you know. So there's things there actually, operation can be fixed quite easily, but it's just making sure that they're connected to the business. So I think that's, you know, if you want to put your customer at the heart of business, then you should be putting, yeah, your customer support at the heart of the business as well.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are.
At our sister podcast, Keep Optimizing, we are counting down the weeks until we release episode 300. Yeah, 300. Baby sister is getting big. It's crazy to reach that milestone. And we are going to be celebrating it by releasing content, the episode and a few other bits and bobs, that's even more useful and helpful than what we usually release every week on the Keep Optimizing podcast. There's also the opportunity for you to be a part of it all. To find out how to get involved, go to keepopt.com/300. That's keepopt.com/300. And that way, you can become a part of our Keep Optimizing episode 300 celebrations. Have you yet downloaded our ebook? To celebrate reaching episode 500, we've created an epic e-commerce success-focused ebook for you, packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable, featuring the advice of many, many past guests alongside industry experts and many of you as well, our listeners. I've checked every single tip and organize the whole thing into sections for you, making it super easy to dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need it. This ebook needs to be sat on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at ecmp.info/ebook. Get 2024's most valuable e-commerce ebook now, ecmp.info/ebook.
It's time for the top tips round.
Okay, I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. Gareth, are you ready for the top tips?
I'm ready, yes.
Excellent. Okay, the book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
Yeah, this one's a bit of a classic, but I still read it from time to time. So it's How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. I read it many, many years ago for the first time, but I've reread it multiple times. I still think it holds true in any type of business, right? In terms of how you know, ultimately, business are still about people, right? So it's how you deal with people and how you react to certain things. So yeah, that would be my book recommendation if you're going to take a Friday off.
Do you know, I reckon if you were going to do a family tree of business books, they would all eventually lead back to Dale Carnegie. It's like, you know, you can kind of read it and go, oh yeah, that's a bit of that one. That's a bit of that one, yeah.
Yes. It's kind of the original, yes.
Yeah, the original and possibly the best. So great, great tip. Traffic top tip, which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
Yeah, I think just clarity in terms of your brand, like say the same thing consistently, you know, to a clear audience, just be consistent. Like we all can get caught up in tactics and, you know, different things we can try and do, and they have a place, right? Don't get me wrong. But that can, again, NRF and stuff, listening to different brands, you know, they're all talking about consistency and engagement and, you know, just how they reach out to their audience and stuff like that. And it's just ensuring that you have clarity in that. You know what you're trying to say. That's important as well. Sometimes that can be very mixed, right?
Yeah.
That's easier said than done sometimes. But like trying to sit down and understand actually what do we want to say? What do we want to represent? Right? Take some time to really nail that and then make sure you're consistently saying that across. I think that's important.
I mean, so important for the customer and for the success of your business, but also so important for getting AI to talk about you correctly and be found. I mean, because the LLMs and the AI, they are taking the sum of all the parts they can find about you. And if they find stuff that doesn't match with what you want it to say, it's not going to go well.
Oh, and they don't care. They're just going to surface that up, right? So someone's searching in ChatGPT or whatever about you, and then they're going. So yeah, so that can, like, that kind of, as we call it, customer engagement, or, you know, across different channels, you need to be consistent, right? Because if you're saying different things in different places, these days it's gonna surface, and it's a thing. Absolutely.
Yeah, all these people are typing in. Well, what does AI know? Oh, what we haven't done that for 20 years.
Exactly. Yes.
It's consistency is good. The tool top tip, maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
I'm going to talk about way of working, actually, because you've adopted a system called EOS. There's a book called Traction, which kind of, you know, if people are interested, get the book. But I mean, essentially EOS is an operating system for businesses which are 250 people or less, right? So entrepreneurial type businesses, we're looking for, you know, clear ownership, better execution, fewer meetings. EOS essentially is a operating system which you can adopt, and it's very structured and has a rhythm and a cadence, but we've adopted it here very, very successfully. But I also think it works for, you know, it will work across, you know, smaller businesses that are running at pace and want to execute. It kind of gives a good framework and a good methodology. So yeah, there's a book called Traction if anybody's interested, or you put it on YouTube, you get a 2-minute overview. But yeah, it's well worth a look if you're interested in that type of thing.
Nice. Always like a way of working instead of necessarily a tech tool in this tip. The carbon top tip. What's your favorite way to reduce the carbon footprint of an e-commerce store?
Yeah, absolutely. I think returns are the bane of most brands or e-commerce sellers online. So a big area to kind of focus on is you can reduce unnecessary returns, because that obviously has a knock-on impact from a carbon point of view, but also to your business. And I come back to what we spoke about at the start in terms of pre-sales. If you can answer those queries up front before someone purchases, again, we see for our data that actually reduces the number of returns you would get. So again, if you can focus on that, it has, you know, a twofold impact for your business in terms of that. You can have a good carbon impact, but also helps your business in terms of everything that goes with that. So yeah, two for one there in terms of that tip, I guess.
Yeah, the remarkable idea of selling the customer the right product in the first place.
Well, not very original, I know, but I think, you know, if you can help and folk, and again, you know, by engaging a little bit better there and help, that has a good positive knock-on impact. Yeah, there's a big impact from a carbon point of view as well.
Huge impacts in delivery, complexity, team time, and of course what happens to the product at the end, because that's probably one of the biggest carbon issues at all. So a top recommendation there, Gareth. Now, before we say goodbye, please, please, please let the audience know where they can find you and eDesk if they want to get in touch and find out how you could help them turn their customer service into a profit center.
Absolutely. If you just head on over to eDesk.com, it's a nice, easy URL to remember. So you get everything there. You can get in touch with our sales folk or book a demo or have a look at our site and see what we do and kind of browse around. We have an interactive demo there so you can have a look at the product. So yeah, eDesk.com for more information, and yeah, happy to help anybody out in terms of who wants to kind of drive more profitability through their customer operations.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Gareth. And thank you so much for coming on the show and talking about what I think should be a topic high on every e-commerce business's to-do list at the moment, is improve that customer service experience, take advantage of the AI, and then essentially generate greater customer lifetime value and more profits. I mean, why wouldn't that be at the top of people's list?
Exactly. What you say, Chloe, yeah.
Gareth, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We really appreciate it. Fascinating to chat to Gareth there about all things customer service and what the potential is. What I love is that there's some really clear steps to improving things in order to improve sales, both acquisition and retention, to build that trust with the customer. But there's also a huge opportunity from changing the culture in the business and bringing everybody together to work towards this and get that information flowing, that hugely valuable information flowing around the place. Thoroughly enjoyed that chat with Gareth. I'm sure you'll have got lots of ideas out of it too. You can get your hands on our notes from the episode, including those top tips and links to what we've mentioned, by heading over to ecommercemasterplan.com. You can also use our direct episode short links. Just put ecmp.info/ the number of this episode into the URL bar and you'll be redirected straight to the right page on the site. When you get there, why not join our email list? Go on. Now, if you like this episode, then why not check out episode 551, where I'm chatting with Paul Hancox from mega B2B business Partstown about how they're using AI in customer service. It's kind of an interesting one that will build upon what we've covered in this one. And thank you for tuning into this and every episode of the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. I bring you a new interview every week because I want to inspire and help e-commerce business owners to succeed and thrive with their businesses, including progressing along the path to net zero. So if you know someone this show can help, please tell them to listen to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. I hope you have a great week and don't forget to keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.
At our sister podcast, Keep Optimizing, we are counting down the weeks until we release episode 300. Yeah, 300. Baby sister is getting big. It's crazy to reach that milestone. And we are going to be celebrating it by releasing content, the episode and a few other bits and bobs, that's even more useful and helpful than what we usually release every week on the Keep Optimizing podcast. There's also the opportunity for you to be a part of it all. To find out how to get involved, go to keepopt.com/300. That's keepopt.com/300. And that way you can become a part of our Keep Optimizing episode 300 celebrations. Have you yet downloaded our ebook? To celebrate reaching episode 500, we've created an epic e-commerce success-focused ebook for you, packed with 500, yes, 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable, featuring the advice of many, many past guests alongside industry experts and many of you as well, our listeners. I've checked every single tip and organize the whole thing into sections for you, making it super easy to dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need it. This ebook needs to be sat on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at ecmp.info/ebook. Get 2024's most valuable e-commerce ebook now, ecmp.info/ebook.